Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you this morning. And I would like, this morning, I'd like to look at the topic of walking in the favor of God. Walking in the favor of God. And, you know, I'm coming to realize how important it is to walk in God's favor, to have His favor rest on you. And, you know, it seems the older I get, just the value of His favor on us, to be able to accomplish what He's called us to do, to have His blessing rest on us, and walk in a way that He is pleased to rest His favor on us, and to have His favor on everything we do. You know, just because we're a Christian, because we're saved, it doesn't necessarily mean that God's favor is on you. You can be saved, but you can live your own life how you like, not necessarily always pleasing to Him, contrary to His character and His ways. And you may not necessarily experience God's favor. So we want to look at this thought of God's favor in our lives. And, you know, what is favor? What is favor? You think of it in many different ways. You know, it's a little gift that you receive from attending a party, a little favor. Is it something that we do for someone else, as in, could you do me a favor? Is it a preference of yours? Do you favor Coke over Pepsi? Or is it something that we earn, as I stayed late at work to earn my boss's favor? You know, is it a decision that's been made, as in the judge ruled in my favor? You know, basically, you know, these are all true when you think of favor, but, you know, it's defined for, in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it's defined as friendly regard shown toward another, especially by a superior. And so you can, you know, one way to think of favor is the special affection of God toward you or toward us. And, you know, favor, especially the favor of God, is something that humans have desired from the very beginning of creation. And, you know, when we have the Lord's favor over us, when we're walking in the favor of God, it gives us an assurance and a peace of mind throughout life's ups and downs. And it doesn't mean that life will always be easy. You know, in walking in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, you know, that's going to mean we're going to have to deny our own nature and choose His nature. And that's not always easy. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, this is probably one reason why idolatry has been such a common practice in the human race. For man to turn to idols. And, you know, it is easy to find favor from a God created by us, whose requirements are defined by us. You know, we don't necessarily have a problem when, you know, if we set up an idol and we determine the parameters to receive that idol's favor. But I know, you know, I'm sure we don't have a problem with worshiping idols, but if you think about it, it's easy to view God in a way that pleases us and makes us feel good than it is to actually know Him for who He actually is and what He's actually requiring of us. You know, do we have a heart to really know who God is, even if it means seeing things about us that we need to change or deal with or that make us uncomfortable. So having a true attitude or a true representation of who God is and what He means to us. And, you know, I think we all desire to know God's favor is on us and He is pleased with us. And, you know, having the King's favor is something that's very special. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 12, You know, it says, the king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. And in Proverbs 16, verse 15, it says, in the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. You know, his favor brings refreshing. It brings strength. It brings encouragement. It encourages us. And it allows us to do what God has called us to do. You know, we're very familiar with Esther, and she had the favor of the king. And because of that, she was able to save her people. We just heard the last couple weeks, Sister Maureen was talking about Ruth and teaching about Ruth. And, you know, Ruth had Boaz's favor. And because of that, she was greatly blessed along with Naomi. And so there's great, great blessing in having the favor of the king. And we see this desire of man for God's favor. You can see it right from the very beginning in Genesis. Following Adam and Eve's fall into sin and with their first two children. Cain and Abel. And that's seen in Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 through 8. Genesis 4, 2 through 8, and I'd like to read that. And it says, And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect or favor unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he did not respect or did not favor. And so Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. So we see here Abel found favor with the Lord, and Cain didn't. And that bothered Cain extremely, so much so that he was wroth. And he was wroth at the wrong person. He was jealous of his brother. There was a desire there for God's favor. And it was the lack of God's favor upon Cain, that motivated that first murder in human history. And, so we want to be walking in a way that we are walking in God's favor. And, you know, God's favor is, knowing how to walk in his favor is not something that's hard to understand or difficult. You know, God makes very clear what his expectations are. And God's standards for us are also within our reach and for our own benefit and for our own good. You know, and to walk in his favor is to walk in obedience to his will and towards his purpose for our lives. And, you know, God really explained just how simple walking in his favor truly is. You know, when he was talking to Cain, what did God tell Cain? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? You know, to do what is right. If we choose not to do what is right, what does it say? Sin is crouching at our door, waiting to ensnare us and drag us away from God. And so thankfully, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can rule over sin and choose God's favor. We have power over sin and power to do what's right. You know, the Greek word in the New Testament that we translate to our English word favor is the word charis. And the idea is graciousness of manner or act, especially the divine influence upon the heart. Favor or gift or gracious. And, you know, this same word, this is the word it's far more frequently translated to the English word grace. And in the King James Version, this root word is translated to the word grace 130 times versus only 6 times to the word favor. And so although we have different words of grace and favor in our English language, you know, biblically speaking, you know, the two are closely related. And, you know, I'm sure we've heard the definition of grace as the grace of God is his unmerited favor. And that is a free gift of God that we can never earn through our works. And this is true. You know, grace is the ability to do what he has called us to do, even though we really don't have the strength it does or the wherewithal to make that happen. And, you know, and this is true. And really, when you really think of favor or grace, we can be learning about it the rest of our lives and still grow deeper and deeper in its understanding. And though grace is a free gift of God, we must receive it. We have to take it. And although God's grace and favor is a free and unmerited gift, the increase and decrease of his favor is clearly associated with the choices that we make. You know, grace, we know, is freely given to us when we accept his offer of salvation. It was made available to us when the blood of Jesus was shed and our sins atoned for. And we received a portion of God's grace when we made the choice to follow Jesus and accept his salvation. But depending on how we choose to use his grace in our lives, we can increase or decrease God's favor upon our lives. And, you know, if we walk faithfully to him, then we're going to receive an increase of his favor. And if we take his grace for granted and live to please ourselves, regardless of how contradictory it is to God's will for us, we will begin to lose his favor upon our lives, just as Cain did. That doesn't mean we'll lose God's love for us or his care for us, but the favor that rests on us, the blessings that rest on us, can increase or decrease depending on how we respond to the Lord. And I also want to continue to look into walking in God's favor. And, you know, very little about the childhood of Jesus is recorded in Scripture. However, one thing was recorded, and it gives us a little insight into favor and walking in God's favor. And, you know, we have this picture of Jesus when he was about 12 years old, and his parents said, gone to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And I'd just like to read this from Luke 2, verses 41 to 52. And we have this account here of Jesus' visiting Jerusalem in the temple. And it says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they supposed him to have been in company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard them were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not that the saying which he spake unto them. And when he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And in verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus was walking in favor with God and man even at the young age of 12 years old. And, you know, we want to walk in the favor of God and man. And how do we do that? How do we grow and increase the favor of God in our lives? Well, we see a couple things in this account here of Jesus. You know, Jesus had a choice, to return with his family or to remain in his heavenly Father's house. I suspect, knowing the call that was on his life, his heart for the Lord and for his Father, I suspect he would have much rather stayed in his heavenly Father's house. But he submitted to his parents. He returned to his home. And understanding it wasn't his time yet. And, he had that choice. And he chose the will of the Father. Walking in the favor of God cannot happen without a choice, without making choices. And many times it is difficulties that bring us to a choice, the choice of good versus evil. And, really, growth and increase cannot happen aside from opposition and resistance in making choices. And difficulties often force a choice upon us, a choice to either follow God's desire or ours. Adam and Eve had a choice of the two trees to eat from in the garden. Cain and Abel, we looked at, had to choose what offering to bring before the Lord. Jesus had a choice to return with his family or to remain in his heavenly Father's house. We know Jesus also had a choice to do his own will or to take on the cross. When he was before he was crucified, he was agonizing in the garden. Lord, take this cup. May it pass from me. Take it away from me. But what did he say? Not my will, but yours be done. The Apostle Paul, he had a choice to choose between a life of ease or one of pain and suffering for the sake of the gospel. And there's a special grace or favor of God that we receive in situations where we have chosen God's way over our own way. And, if you think of someone like Job, who suffered such tragic losses, and yet still he can fall to his knees and worship and declare, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Throughout Job's life, Job chose righteousness, and the Lord's favor was on them, and he had the grace and favor to glorify God throughout those difficult situations. And we have in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, Paul looks at it this way or states it this way, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glorify in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." In the midst of Paul's suffering and difficulties, being tormented by Satan's messenger, Jesus said that his grace was sufficient. Paul received the grace and favor of God in a unique way and was willing to endure these hardships so he could continue in God's favor. And in doing that, he was made strong. So when we find ourselves facing the most difficult of circumstances, we can remind ourselves that the stage has been set for us to be able to walk in the favor of God in a unique and powerful way. We can remind ourselves that the power of God can be demonstrated through our lives in the midst of our weaknesses, our insults, our hardships, our persecutions, and difficulties. And when we are weak, then through Christ we are strong. And it's because of his favor, his grace on us. So instead of, complaining and whining about our circumstances, we can reach out to the Lord and receive his grace and his favor in abundance as we trust in him and thank him even for the difficult seasons of life. And it is then that we begin to grow and increase in his favor as our faith is proven. And, you know, in James chapter 1 and verse 12, there's this verse here that James teaches us that in the midst of these difficult seasons of life, that we can gain such favor of God in our lives that it will be uniquely rewarded. James 1, chapter 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation or trials or difficulties, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." And so, you know, Jesus walked in the favor of God by faithfully following his Heavenly Father's will, no matter the cost and difficulty that it meant for him. And because Jesus obeyed his Father's will, he not only found favor with God, but he was seated at his right hand and given the name above every name and authority over all things. And we see as we, you look back at Jesus when he was 12 years old and in the temple making the right choice. And, you know, it says he increased not only with God, but also with man. Jesus increased in favor, not only with God, but also with man. And you'll remember that the entire fulfillment of God's law is to love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and also to love others as we love ourselves. And, you know, to walk in God's favor means to love and serve God, but that also means we have to sincerely love and serve our fellow man. And, you know, and when you love and serve your fellow man, God will give you a favor in their eyes. And it's not so that we can feel good that all these people think highly of us or favor us, but it's so that we can speak the truth in their lives. We can encourage and strengthen them, build them up in God's ways. You know, we don't want to serve God for the blessings, but we want to serve out of love for him and love for others. You know, I came across a saying. It says, "Man can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed." And, you know, the idea that, you know, we're not keeping track of the good things that we've done, counting those apple seeds, so that now I can expect to be blessed and favored. But to serve God out of love and man out of love. So we're giving these acts of love and service to God and others, and God will give the increase. He'll take that seed and he will multiply it into untold fruit in our lives and into the lives of others. You know, Jesus never stopped loving God and loving others. You know, and when we read through the gospel accounts, we see that Jesus did all these things. And Paul gives us a picture of you know, kind of what loving God and loving others looks like in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 19. Paul here is telling us what this looks like to love God and love others. Romans 12, verses 9 through 19 says, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord.'" You know, so we want to have an eye to see when people are going through difficulties in life. you know, that were there and able to lend a listening ear, to pray with them, to help them to walk in the favor of God when they simply feel like giving up. You know, though their faith may grow weak, we can encourage them in their faith and help them build up their trust in the Lord. You know, and God bestows favor on those who out of love serve Him and serve others. And, you know, we also saw that one way to increase in God's favor requires opposition and resistance and often difficult circumstances. And God's will for permitting these difficulties is not to break us or to cause us harm. You know, these difficulties are temporary seasons to bring about revelation and increase in our faith and to create the potential for us to grow and increase in God's favor over us. In Lamentations chapter 3, there's a verse here, verse 25 and 26. You know, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You know, if we are waiting for salvation, that probably means we are in a time of need or of difficulty. We're needing the Lord to come and work on our behalf. And in those instances, when we trust in the Lord, when we wait on Him for His answers, for His will, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. This means that His favor is resting on you. And, you know, God actively searches for those He can dispose His favor on. And you have a verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. And it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him." You know, the Lord is pleased to bestow His favor on those whose heart is towards Him. He's longing to do that. It's His desire to do that. And He's actively looking for those He can bestow His favor on. And, you know, this is taken from the account in the during the time of the kings of Israel. And this is during the time of King Asa, a king of Israel. And, you know, he was in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, you know, it says of him that he did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. But as you read on and look at his reign, you know, the Lord did not always, the Lord's favor did not always rest on Asa. Let me look at that real quick. And we'll start in 2 chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, I'll read through that, and it says, "So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods in the high places, and brake down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment." And so in these next verses, we see God's favor was on Asa because of that. And and later in this chapter, the nation of Ethiopia rose up against him. And in 2 Chronicles 14, verses 9 through 12, it says, "And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000 thousands and 300 chariots, and came unto Maresha. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha at Maresha." But what was Asa's response? It was to turn to God for deliverance. And in verse 11, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not many prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." And so in the next chapter then, we have a prophet of God coming to Asa and giving him this warning. and basically telling him that the Lord will be with him if you seek him, and he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And it says, because of that, Asa took courage and renewed his commitment to the Lord. And in so doing, he not only found favor with God, but also with man. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 9, because of this warning that this prophet had of God had given Asa, this was his response, 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 9. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Now Asa was the king of Judah, which was, you know, the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And these other tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon, they were not originally part of his kingdom, but because the Lord's favor was on him and his kingdom, it says they fell unto him out of Israel in abundance. There was many streaming unto, to Jerusalem or to Asa because of the Lord's favor on him. And Asa had the people follow after God in 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 12. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord God gave them rest round about. But then we come to latter time in his reign. And this says, in the 36th year of his reign. So it was later on in his reign. Baasha, king of Israel, rose up against him. But what was Asa's response this time? You know, he, instead of turning to the Lord, here he turned to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, to join him against Israel. You know, he did not look to the Lord. He looked to form an alliance with a foreign king. And because of that, in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7 through 9, this is the Lord's response. It says, and at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. And so he lost a measure of the Lord's favor on his life. In the first instance, he turned to the Lord. And the Lord's favor was on him. But in the second instance, for whatever reason, he turned to a foreign power instead of the Lord. And he lost the measure of the Lord's favor. And, you know, we want to have a heart that looks to the Lord, easily turning to him in all our circumstances. We know David was one who had God's favor resting on him. You know, he was a man after God's own heart, and we saw the favor of the Lord rest on him. But how did that look in his life? How did, what choices and decisions did he make that showed he rested in the Lord, he trusted in the Lord? You know, there are many examples from David's life. He trusted the Lord to deliver him from the lion and the bear, and obviously Goliath. He turned to the Lord during the time at Ziklag when they had lost all their families and his men were ready to stone him, to kill him. He turned to the Lord and sought his deliverance. And the Lord delivered all their families back into their hands. But I want to look at a situation in 1 Samuel chapter 26, verses 23 to 24. And here, this is when David is being pursued by Saul. Saul is wanting to kill David. He's very jealous of David, and he had lost the Lord's favor. and was wanting to kill David. And here Saul and his men have camped for the night. They're in their camp sleeping. And David sees Saul in his camp, and he decides he wants to go down into the camp, and he takes one of his men with him. And he goes into the camp while Saul is sleeping, and we know there he has the opportunity to kill Saul be released from having Saul trying to kill him. But he chooses to spare his life. And we want to notice David's response to Saul. Because at that time, David left the camp, took his spear or his javelin with him, and from a safe distance, he called out to Saul and said, told him that I had the opportunity to kill you, but I didn't. And here's your javelin to prove that I was there. And Saul, at that point, he cries out that he's done wrong to David and begs David to come back and be forgiven. But I want to read David's response in 1 Samuel 26, verses 23 to 24. It says, and this is David speaking, "The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee," or delivered Saul, "into my hand today. But I would not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes," or in other words, David magnified Saul's life. He honored his life. He held his life in high esteem. And that was his enemy, really, in this case. "And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord." Not in the eyes of Saul, not in the one who, he didn't look to man for his deliverance. He didn't look to, Saul was the one who wanted to kill him, and Saul was wanting to forgive him. But David wasn't trusting in Saul. He wasn't trusting in man. But what does it say? "So let my life be much set in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation." David, his heart easily turned to the Lord for deliverance in time of difficulty. It didn't turn to other men or even to a king in this case for deliverance, but it was his eyes easily turned to the Lord. And David did not trust Saul, the king, for his deliverance. He trusted the Lord, the king. And from David's life, we can see he easily turned to the Lord. And because of that, the favor of the Lord was on him. And, one more instance in David's life where we see how easily he turns to the Lord and puts his life in the Lord's hands. And this is in 2 Samuel chapter 15. And here, Absalom has risen up in rebellion against David. And David is fleeing Jerusalem for his life. And the people are fleeing Jerusalem with him. He's taking, the priests are fleeing. They're bringing the ark with them. And here in 2 Samuel 15, verses 24 and 25, it says here, and it's a picture of the people and the priests fleeing Jerusalem. It says, "And lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up, until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king," this David, "and the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. And if I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation." David is placing his future in the hands of God and basically saying, "I'm going to trust in the Lord's favor and his graciousness. And if he desires, he'll bring me back and I'll see the ark again in the city and be established again. But if not, I trust in the Lord. I rely in the Lord." And that's a heart that pleases the Lord, that he desires to rest his favor on someone who has a heart that easily turns to the Lord in all situations. And And so we want to have a heart that desires to please the Lord and to see how important it is to have God's favor on our life. You know, really, without His favor, we can do nothing of value in our life, especially eternal value. We need His favor and His grace working and bestowed on us. And we want to have a heart that easily turns to the Lord and seeks the Lord. So praise the Lord. Why don't we close in prayer? Thank you, Father. Lord, we are so grateful for your goodness and mercy to us. And Lord, we understand our need of you in all areas of our life, Father, to walk in your favor and to walk in your grace, that we can be pleasing in your sight, that we can honor you, that you would delight in us and delight to favor and bless us, Father God, so that we can serve you and we can serve others. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to work in our heart, Lord, a desire to love you and to love your ways and to seek your kingdom and you first, Father. We ask, Lord, this in Jesus' name. Amen.